Amen. I do pray God has blessed you and has been with you during this week, and I pray that you are just overwhelmed with the joy of who He is. And we celebrate today. We especially point out that He is alive. He lives, and we know that every day we should celebrate that. But today, our whole nation and the whole world is talking about Christ in some form of resurrection ceremony or another, and it's good to be able to know that the world can still announce that He lives. I'm not saying that they all believe it, but I am saying the Word is there, and the Word should continue to be there every day, especially tomorrow and every tomorrow that follows, because we, His believers, have the testimony of who He is. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue. This will be the last time I talk about this passage in Acts. I'm going to ask that you stand with me. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I'll begin reading in verse number 9. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9. Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they stood steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Father, we thank You so much for the hope that we have through Your resurrection, that You took Your life up. No one took it from You, but You laid it down. And then You took it again to show us the power of life in You. Lord, that You promised to come back for those that are Yours. And we celebrate today, Father, hoping and praying that there will be many more than just us, and that our testimony will help them see the light that is in the darkness, that is You. And Father, be with us now in this time, we pray, and be glorified through us in it. And we ask it to Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be seated, please. How many of you have ever heard of Emily Dickinson? Yes. Emily Dickinson wrote this about hope, saying, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tunes without words and never stops at all. I mean, those are beautiful words, but I want to tell you I disagree with Miss Dickinson to a certain degree. It depends on the type of hope that you have, whether it sings every day. Because I have seen the hope of things in the world be dashed upon the rocks and the souls fall into emotional distress over things that have come into their life. One moment they're hopeful because of all of the good that they see, and the next all they see are the waves crashing and the ship going down on the rocks, and they don't even know if they're going to survive. But the hope that is alive in us through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what storm comes, victory is already ours. And so I don't lose that hope. The hope of the world is just as easily taking flight as it did when it perched upon us. But the hope of Christ, when it comes upon us, it seals us for a day of redemption. And we don't lose that hope. We don't look at the things around us and become dismayed and terrified over what might happen. I can only think of one thing that might cause us to be terrified. And that's climbing up on a ladder that's really tall on the side of a house. And it begins to bounce. Am I the only one afraid of ladders? That is the only thing that terror grabs a hold of me. when I'm doing that. In fact, I'll even stand at the bottom of the ladder and look up and think, Lord, you got it up there. I need help down here too. But God is good to us. I know there are things in life that we can laugh about that bring terror into our life. But you know, when it's really said and done, through sickness, through illness, through loss of friendship, through loss of loved ones, through facing the calamity of our own life coming to an end in the ways that we don't want, our hope is not diminished when we're in Christ. Because I know this is not my home. This is not who I am. What I will be is about to become full in Christ. And not for a moment, but for eternity. And so we as Christians, we find ourselves too often, we've been talking about the disciples and them standing there watching Jesus as he ascended into heaven. And he had already been spoken to, he had already spoken to them and told them that the power was coming to them when the Holy Spirit came. And so they had received promise of the Holy Spirit. They had received the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. And they had received the hope that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And yet when Jesus ascended and all of these things they know are going to happen, they stand there looking up into heaven, lost and without direction. Until the angel showed up beside him and said, hey guys, what are y'all doing standing around? You need to go back to Jerusalem. You need to wait for the promise that is coming. And now we have that promise, don't we? When we are born again in Christ, we have received the promise. We don't need to go wait for that. When Christ comes into us, we have received it, and we are born again and alive in the hope of the presence that is within us, the Holy Spirit. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And whom shall I be afraid of? The one that can kill the body or the one that can destroy the soul? I'm not afraid of the one that can kill the body, and I'm not afraid of the one that destroys the soul any longer, because I am sealed for the day of redemption in Jesus Christ. But believers, sometimes we stand around looking as if we have no direction. There are two great temptations that we face in our life as believers. And you might think that you know them, but I'm going to give you two that you might not realize are facing us every day, challenging us every day. The first is surrender. That we surrender to the world, allowing it to tell us how we should live and act and what to say and what not to say. And I'm telling you, we can never surrender the truth of Jesus Christ. And we don't back away from it. We don't defend God. God defends us. I'm not here to prove to you that Jesus is alive. I'm here to tell you that it's proven itself true through his holy word and through the experiences I have in life. Jesus lives. I know it. I know it, and I'm going to tell you, Jesus lives. And the world will say, you can't talk like that. I'll say, well, you know anybody else that lives better than Jesus? Talk to me. Tell me so I can share that good news. But there's only one that's ever gone into the grave and come out again on his own power, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. We should never surrender to the world, but we face that temptation every day. Circumstances we are in, jobs we have that don't want us to talk about Jesus. Don't be afraid of the world. Be afraid that the world's going to die. The world that surrounds you is going to die, and die in eternal damnation, not knowing Jesus Christ. And the other temptation we face is idleness. Standing there watching, whether by uncertainty and what to do next, or just becoming too comfortable with where we are in life. Idleness. These two things can harm us as believers. They can destroy our testimonies as believers. They can ruin our work for Christ as believers. Stop it before it even begins, because we have surrendered or we're just too comfortable with where we are and become idle. But we have a testimony of hope. And that's what this is all about today. Are we celebrating the risen Christ? Or are we celebrating just that He died for us? Because if you're celebrating just that He died, you have missed the whole point. He lives. That's why we celebrate. That is where our hope resides, in Him, that He has life and gives it to those who come unto Him and find forgiveness and find the hope that is in us. This is the hope and the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's in our testimony. And can I tell you, when we're walking with that testimony of who Christ is, when we're walking under the weight of the cross, we walk with humility. Because none of us deserves it. But all of us should share it. So we walk with humility and not with pride. That I've got something you can't have. Because God calls all who will come. And there's something else we walk with. Willingness to self-sacrifice rather than self-preserve. That's what we walk with. That's why we can't surrender and we can't become idle. It's not that we're walking in pride, we're walking in humility, the same as Christ walked in humility under the weight of the cross. He didn't look with hatred or meanness or disdain or contempt or any of those vile things when He carried the weight of the cross. And even hanging from the cross, He said to all of those that stood at His foot and mocked Him even, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." And what a great travesty for those who do, to trample the blood of Jesus Christ under their feet with pride and contempt. Self-preservation. We have a hope, and it's a living hope. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 3 and 5, he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Ready to be revealed. A living hope, incorruptible, undefiled through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And every time we see that word "fallen asleep" in Scripture, we understand they are talking about those who have died. Mortals who have gone before Christ and after Christ have died and gone into the tombs. But Jesus, He is different. He is risen from the dead. He is the first fruits, so that He should have preeminence in everything. He was before creation. He was the reason of creation. And now He's the first to go into death and to walk out on His own power. He is preeminent in everything. The first fruits of it all. And if you don't understand who He is, in Genesis it says, "In the beginning God said, let there be light, and there was light." If you don't know what that means, it means that Jesus is already being revealed. We understand that because even in John chapter 1 it says, "And He was the light of the world, and the darkness comprehended it not." And even in the end, in Revelation, the new Jerusalem, as it's coming down, John says, "And I saw a light. There was no sun and no moon. There was no need, because the glory of God illuminated it all. And the glory of God is the Lamb, which is the light of the new Jerusalem." In the beginning and in the end, it is the light of God. It is Jesus. And in the middle, He's walking with us. A light shining in the darkness. But the darkness does not comprehend. Even in the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," it separated itself from darkness. In the end, it will separate itself from darkness. But in the middle, where we are, we have time to find that hope and to find life in that light that is Jesus Christ. And to find that hope and this testimony. We don't need to stand around idly or surrendering to the world. We need to share with the world. He lives. I know they're hearing it a lot today. They need to hear it again tomorrow. He lives. It wasn't just yesterday, by the way. It was today and tomorrow. And he lives. People will go to work tomorrow, I'm sure, and talk about the good times they had with their church family and their regular family and all the things they did, and then on Tuesday they got nothing else to say about it. Was he not still living on Tuesday? He lives. We need to celebrate. This hope cannot be diminished because Jesus lives. He lives. Paul says again, we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Don't you have hope in that? To know that he is alive and that even if I should die in this mortal life, the eternal life is still alive in Christ. For to be absent of the body is to be present with Christ. And then one day when he calls us in the blinking of an eye, the twinkling of an eye, we shall be joined with him in heaven and we shall be changed like him. Risen in his likeness because we live in his likeness now. Because our hope is not lost. It hadn't crashed upon the rocks. How many of you, even though you know you're Christians, realize that your bubble in this world is going to have trials and tribulations, times of trouble, enemies that stand against you. Sometimes where you can see it and sometimes where you can't. It doesn't matter. You still have victory in Christ. Christ is never overwhelmed or surprised by these things. In fact, he carried the weight of the cross already knowing that that was coming. Didn't he talk about it in his ministry on the earth? Wasn't it promised to us in the Old Testament that even his old familiar friend would lift up his heel against him, the one who broke bread with him? And should we expect it to be any different? I don't lose my hope in Christ when things don't go my way. I might have been going the wrong way. And Christ is just correcting the path. We need to understand he lives, and if he's alive in us, we have to share that good news. It is good news. It's good news, y'all. Jesus Christ saves, and he saves all who will come. And he loves all, whether they come or not. But he's opened his door to all of us if we will come. And we know that. It's not just a living hope we have, it's an eternal hope. John 10:28 says this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Nobody can snatch you out of the hand of God. Why worry about the world? Why worry about the enemy and the wolves that are out there digging pits for themselves, blind leading the blind so that they can fall in the pit together? But they'll be happy together, right? I don't know if there'll be any happiness once that pit hits them. Separation from Christ. I'm asking you today, are you walking with Christ? Are you walking with hope and joy in Christ? Do you know the living Jesus? The same one these disciples watched ascend into heaven and stood around unaware of what to do. Don't you realize we have a mission? We have goals. We have things that Christ has called us to do. It's not to sit around and be idle. It's not to be a social club, certainly. It is to be God's people and to be a light in a world that is filled with darkness. Whether it comprehends it or not, we are to shine the light of Christ, and the testimony of his living in us should be evident for the world to see. Amen. There's no compromise. There's no backing down. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the kingdom of God. And by the way, I want you to understand the imagery of that statement. I know when I got up this morning, I have never had a fence or a gate that was erected in my life that ever picked itself up and marched any direction. Have you? You ever seen that? Woke up one morning and a brand new fence you just paid a pretty good penny for, got up and moved over 3 feet the other way? Anybody ever seen that? I've never seen that. You know, the gates of hell are planted. They're not marching against the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is marching against the gates of hell, and it cannot prevail when the testimony is alive, when the testimony is true, when it's walking in the power of the promise and the hope of Jesus Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the good news is alive. And this same Jesus will come in like manner as you saw him. You know, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me will never die, but have everlasting life. And therefore go and make disciples of the world, teaching them and baptizing them, being light in a world filled with darkness. Did you carry all light with you today, or did you bring a pocket full of darkness? Because if you brought darkness with you, you need to get rid of it. It doesn't have room in the same place with light. Light and darkness, they can't coexist together. One has to push the other out. You are what they want. The light wants you. The darkness wants you. Which do you choose? Do you choose to drink from the well that is providing the water of life? Or do you want to keep drinking from the wells that the world are providing, that lead to death and to destruction? Many will say, that well you're drinking from is really kind of a crazy thing. You really believe all that? It's hard to believe you can walk around and tell me that you believe in Jesus Christ. The world tells me I have a hope that is a hope in vain. It's leading me nowhere. It's useless to me. But I'm telling you that my hope is not in vain. My faith in Jesus Christ is not in vain. Because I even see in Revelation 1:17, from Genesis through all the Old Testament, through all the New Testament, even into Revelation, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen and amen. My hope is not in vain, because Jesus lives. He told us before he went into the tomb, no one takes my life. I lay it down of my own accord. My Father gave me this command that I should lay my life down and take it up again. And even in the Old Testament, the hope of life after death in Jesus is already given. In Psalm 16, you find these words: for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. And it's Christ. Christ alone. And we celebrate him being alive. I don't know about you, but I wonder sometimes, are too many of us as Christians becoming idle? Have we surrendered the truth of our hope and of our faith? That we're too afraid or too scared to show it. We might offend someone. We might not should do that because somebody's not going to like it. We might not need to do this. Somebody else will tell them. Somebody else has got a name. You know what it is? Florida Town Baptist Church and all of those involved. That's what it means for us. Go therefore into all the nations, into all the world. If you believe he's alive. If you don't believe he's alive, we don't need you out there trying to share testimony. Because you'll ruin it. And that's why the people outside the church, they look at the church today and say, there's too many hypocrites over there. Why do I need to go to church? I can be what I am here and save my money. I don't have to give tithes, offerings. I don't have to go up there and spend any time with people that are just like me. I can go down here and have fun. Y'all got too many restrictions. Our testimony should be alive. It should be real. It should be true. And it should be planted in the Holy Spirit that seals us for the day of redemption. Because this is not our home. But this is where we find the pathway to our eternal home in Jesus Christ. Through the testimony of those who came before us. Through the testimony of those who are among us. And through the testimony of those who will grow to have faith and believe in Jesus Christ because we had enough faith and courage to share it with them. And that's what we celebrate. He is alive. Don't stand around looking, well, he's supposed to come back anytime now. Don't worry about that day or those seasons. Those are in the hand of the Father. Nobody knows the hour nor the day, not even the angels, not the Son. So go and take the testimony of who he is. Be a light in a world filled with darkness so they can see, so they can celebrate life and have this hope eternal in Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning? If not, I want to invite you to come today and to find that hope. I want to invite you to know that he lives and light does shine in the darkness. You begin to understand things better, differently, because you become a new creation in Christ. But that's what we should be, a new creation in Christ. And I invite you to know the hope. Not just in this hour that we spend together, but in the days and the months, whatever it is that God has for us still laid out and into eternity, a celebration of life and goodness in Jesus Christ. I invite you to come. I plead with you to come. Don't lose your life because you're too comfortable with the world. In the end, you'll find it wasn't worth it. Recognize it now and let God change you and make you new. Father, I thank you that we have had this time, and I pray, Father, that you are glorified in it. Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done for all of us. What you have proven to us in your life, in your death and resurrection, and in the hope that you give for the time yet to come. And Father, I pray if there's one here who has not found life in you, that they find it now through forgiveness, through the repentance of sin, and through the sealing of the Holy Spirit upon them. Father, help us, we pray. To your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Will you come?